Here we are. We are live.
Yay.
You do your thing.
You do your thing.
Me? Oh, hi, people. Can you tell that we've been off for a month? Because we can.
It's all it takes is 1 month. Like, what's this butt do?
And it wasn't even a full month because we did stuff in the middle. But anyways.
Right.
This is what happens when you don't record or go live for 2 weeks. You forget how. Anyway, hi, people. We're going to kind of lollygag a little bit for a couple minutes to get people to come in. And that is because this episode is a reintroduction and Q&A. So before I get started and do our spiel, if you are already here and you have questions, go ahead and start putting them in the chat and we will get to them.
And if you watch this after we're done live and you still have questions, feel free to go ahead and put it in the comments anyways. We'll be happy to answer it even after we're live. It's not like, you know, that's it. No more questions after
right.
The end.
Right. We're always answering questions. So it's cool.
Plus, we would appreciate the engagement.
Absolutely.
I think when we did our initial intro, we had like, 3 listeners.
Yeah.
We did. Two listeners. So now that we are, over 1,000 subs, you know, figured some of you may not have ever had a chance to watch that very first episode. And actually, there was really nothing to watch because that was just all audio at that time. So figured we'd do it again. Right. Catch up on what, not just who we are, but like, what we've done, how we've changed.
Right.
Because a lot has changed in the last couple years.
Almost 3 years.
Including adding Jason. Jason's never gotten to do a little intro. So this is the Jason show today. We'll fill the 3 of us.
We've been doing this for almost 3 years.
I was telling Clyde that, you know, probably... I mean, what I personally, if I were a listener, I would definitely want to hear from Jason and also from Hestia, because Hestia, you have grown tremendously since we've started. So there's, I think, a lot to catch up.
Like so much just in the last, you know, the 3 years that we've known each other, the three of us, and the last year or so with Jason.
Absolutely. Has it only been a year? I thought it's been like 2. Maybe.
Well, since we've known each other.
We're stating the known each other part. So, because I know.
We met, 2018? 2019?
19?
It was a few months before COVID.
2019.
That's all I remember. It was right before COVID hit. We bonded through.
The end of 2019.
Yep, and I remember my first episode I came on was the demonology one. That was 2020?
Early 2020, I think, or mid 2020.
Yeah, because I think it was, like the summer timer of like May or June, because I remember Anthony graduated and his family was over.
Before we get really, really into it, you know, just really quickly, we are the Bitchy Witchies, and we do this YouTube channel. We also do a podcast. You can hear us on most of, or if not all of, the major podcast platforms. And we have, I totally lost my thought. Like, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, like and subscribe. If you're new to our channel, then definitely check out our videos and such. If you like what you see,
and subscribe. If you're new here, we have books on Amazon. They're targeted towards the newer practitioners, but they're also very helpful for those who just need something for reference. And yeah, it's a set of four books. We got spell oils, herbs, divination, and just tips for the new practitioner.
And we put it in somewhat of a list form. Obviously, we elaborate with each item, but so that hopefully it's going to be, you know, easier to reference. So we hope that it can be used as not just a, you know, a book, but, you know, as a reference book.
Exactly. Like, I love how they're very straightforward and concise. Like, there's not so much, like, fluff, as you see with a lot of...
Yeah, we're not giving you life stories.
No, we're not sitting there like, this person said to use this for this.
We don't do fluff.
Right? No. And I love that. It's like it gets straight to the point.
Yeah, so before we start getting into everybody's reintroductions, I think we should probably give a little bit of history on how we came to be. So, though I am very anti this platform today, there was a time some years back when I was on Amino, and that's where me and Bella and Brandy met. I met Jason later on through them. But basically, we all met on Amino. We were in admin roles there. That's how we started communicating. Not really sure how, like, we ended up, like, grouping together. I kind of do, but it's messy, so we're not going to go there. But
I just remember being roped into a chat.
I think we were joking around about the idea.
We were.
One of us was like, well, now, wait a minute. I mean, that's kind of a good idea.
Yeah, and at the time,
fun of people.
Yeah, at the time, we were a four-person group. Unfortunately, since then, one of us has passed. But it basically started out as us just joking, like, we should start a podcast. Everybody else does it. Why not us? And we were all joking about it.
And the fourth Bella person, was a silent partner.
Yeah. And Bella was like, why don't we actually do it?
Where's it?
Oh, yeah. She was never actually shown. If you are from Amino around that time, you might remember her as part of our group, Cersei. And she's very missed, still very much loved. But that was the fourth member originally. So Bella just kind of was like, well, why don't we actually do it? And so we did. And again, just joking around, I threw the name out Bitchy Witchies because it was funny and stupid. And I just was like, it sounds funny to me. I'm just going to say Bitchy Witchies. And Bella again was like, yeah, that works. And then everybody else was like, okay, we're going to go with it. And
we tend to run with Hestia's ideas from the very beginning. So she regrets.
She regrets a lot
because we're like, yeah, let's do that. She's like, yeah,
because
let's write a book. Oh, right.
Books. Yeah,
hey, books. Okay, we're gonna do it.
Everybody always talks about how they want really loving, supportive friends. Make sure you actually do, because when you get them, sometimes you're like, oh shit, I was not ready. These people really just every idea I had, they were like, that's great, let's do it. And I was like, oh wait, what? I'm just an idea person. Like, what are we doing here?
Ma'am, it's a think tank. We you throw it out there, we evaluate it, and we're like, that's a great idea.
So
is this how we go?
Sorry. My little one insists on being on camera. So
it's our puppy.
I really wish I had my calendar with me I really wish I had my calendar with me because do any of us remember the actual birthday of the Bitchy Witchies? I have it in a calendar, but I do not have that calendar with me. This is horrible. I feel like a horrible podcast person right now. But
want to say we launched.
It was in February. January.
No, it was in. I think it was in February, and then we find like because our the. What we consider like the Bitchy Witchy's birthday is at one point in time. And then our first episode was a different time.
Cause it took us like a month to literally throw this thing together.
I think it took longer than that. Cause we had to do a lot.
We started at like Christmas, like right after Thanksgiving, throwing it all around. And we finally got our shit together.
Not to mention, I had COVID.
Not knowing what the hell we were doing.
Nope.
Yeah. And I was sick for like 2 months. So nothing got done for those 2 months because I had COVID when COVID was new. So yeah.
And we really were just audio only. It was probably 8 or so months into it that we're like, we should probably do videos. Yeah. They probably don't want to keep staring at a picture and listen to audio. So we tried our hands at videos.
Well, that was because we ended up changing platforms. Because when we first started, we weren't on YouTube at all. It was only on Spotify, Anchor, and a couple other platforms. So we didn't really care about there being video. But
well, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Then when we decided to also put it on YouTube, Bella was like, "Who wants to watch a picture?" And I'm like, "Yeah, maybe, huh?"
So. For those of you who've seen some of our earlier videos, you can probably tell which one are our earlier videos. So I'd like to think we've gotten a little better at our videos over time, gotten used to it.
I think we've
also, I made our music. I made our intro music.
Yeah, Hesia came up with that all by herself. Audio engineered all of that. And a lot of our...
He plays all the instruments on there.
Yeah, no, I don't do that.
She does... Just kidding.
Jaffa's done a lot of the artwork too. So,
yes.
She's our genius art designer. So, that pretty picture of our faces, Hestia did that.
So, then fast forward to, I want to say, season 3. Is that when we had Jason come on for the first time?
I think it was 4.
Yeah.
Okay. It was three or four. It was 3 or 4. So, we get him on for the demonology. Episode, and then I don't know, it just kind of all fell into place. All of a sudden he was just part of the group and we're like, why don't we just make it official? And then boom, another 4th member.
Yeah.
And everywhere.
It's like I came onto Amino about a year, or was like the summer when we were like in the middle of COVID, and then I was like, I really need some more witchy friends. So then I got into one of the groups and I saw Bella in there and I was like, I need to talk to her. So then like I messaged Bella, we were like going back and forth, and then like she told me about the podcast and I was like, oh, I gotta watch that. So then I became like a huge, huge fan. I was like watching episode after episode, like a football fan, just like, yes, exactly. So and I was like, oh my God, can I be a guest? And then went from guest to reoccurring guest, and then part of the group. And I'm so happy to be here. Love it.
And he just stayed.
I saw my evolution too, like from the very first episode, how I was just all like prim and proper. Oh, absolutely. And, and trying to be all like professional, and then I just like got more comfortable, more casual.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I think like the first season,
I can't listen to the first season. It's so cringe. It's so fucking cringe.
Yeah.
But I like it.
You can tell when I'm uncomfortable because I get more aggressive than normal. And like the whole first season, I was essentially screaming. So I'm sorry if you've been here since then. Plus my living situation was very different than it is now. So I was just angry anyway. So, I apologize for the entire first season.
And our audio sometimes was horrible. We were recording from everywhere. I mean, like some, yes. I mean, don't worry. I don't think any of us have ever recorded from the bathroom, but like we might as well have. Because we were just like wherever, just plopping our ass somewhere. And
and now we've all figured out spots where we can be and can't be.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And like in the like cheap headphone I was using, like it made me sound like I was on the phone. Like the three of y'all were all clear, and then like I was just like on the phone.
The whole purpose, though, I don't think we've really talked about that. The whole purpose of why we decided we wanted to do that. I mean, not just because it was just a good idea, you know, that we were all interested in it, but it, a lot of it was really because we're just so tired of all of the misconceptions and misinformation and out there. We just had so much to say.
And, exactly.
And we're like, well, what the hell? Why the hell not? I mean, you know, it's the 21st century. We now have the ability to do it on our own so that we can say what we have to say. So
that's why I wanted to join so badly too. Cause like all the misconceptions were like pissing me off too. And it's like, yeah, like same mission. I want to be on that mission too. It's like to get rid of all those misconceptions that have been brought about by so many things, the new age wave, the new age wave, the social media fad.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. Cause like we want to set the record straight.
Yeah, and that's how we ended up doing the series on misconceptions. We had done at least, I think we did one every season ending last season. It was actually kind of sad to end it, but you know, we didn't want to beat a dead horse.
Right.
Yeah, it's like it's a double-edged sword because it was sad, but at the same time, I probably would have been equally as sad if I thought that we had more to talk about this season, because then that would mean that there's still new ongoing misconceptions. Like that would just depress me to no end.
Right.
So kind of a double edged.
Yeah, exactly.
But
and then even when the newer like other ones pop up, you know, we have our videos during the week that a lot of times we use that chance to, you know, give short information because some of them misconceptions are not a whole episode worthy.
Yeah, very true.
So, you know, we've done a great job though. I mean, like, you can totally see the evolution of all of us. So,
yeah, because it took me 7 seasons to get a new laptop. So, apparently, you guys can see me now.
Oh. It's all good.
Before we go live, Hestia is like, I can see your wall. Oh my god, that's a mask.
I didn't know the turquoise thing on the wall had a face.
I thought it was a turquoise piece of something. This whole time
I thought it was a painted piece of wood.
No, it's supposed to be representing the air element.
I mean, I can see that now.
And then blowing.
There you go.
So,
love it.
Why don't we start with Bella? What's new? Like, what's changed in your spirituality and your practice since we started to now?
Oh, I was hoping you would start with Jason.
Oh.
Well, actually, before we start, though, just want to give a reminder once again, if you are listening right now live, and you have a question for us, go ahead and pop it in the comments. We will be more than happy. Consider this like an update to us, but also, you know, a Q&A, an informal Q&A.
And the questions can be like for us individually about the show, about videos, or just regular questions you have about whatever we dabble in.
Yeah.
Well, fine. So, Bella doesn't want to go first. You go first, Jason.
Okay.
You go first, Jason.
So, background story on me. I'm hereditary witch. We do come from a multi-generational witching family. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles. We identify as witches because we see the term witch as kind of an umbrella term for somebody who has their own magic. We stem mostly from the Pennsylvania Dutch traditions and also the Strega-Stregoi type traditions as well. But also from our mom's side, there is the more Britannic, Scottish, Cornish line of magic. When we were growing up, we were told to study all forms of magic to kind of see how they all interconnect. So from there, I think I was really the only one in my family who really like stuck to it for a really long time. Mom was more laid back. Dad was kind of strict about it. He's a lot more laid back now, but so my cousins, they don't really like to practice anymore because like they feel like it was kind of forced, and it's like, why was it forced? It's what we do. Like, if we were Hispanic, like, if would you think a quinceañera was forced on you? But from there, I went to go study at the Metropolitan University in London, and it turned out to be a for-profit university, but I was actually studying, my major was occult science with a emphasis in European mysticism and folk magic. I didn't end up graduating though, which is fine because like the degree would have been useless anyway. But from there, I spent a year in Cornwall where I got to study some of the like really old tradition craft from a couple of Cornish old crones. They were lovely. I miss them. Then I also got to study in New Orleans under a root worker. She has a shop down there still. It's called Azulis. It's usually open by appointment only, but that's how I kind of, so my craft is basically a combination of a lot of the traditions that we learned as a child, which stem from the Dutch Britannic traditions, as well as some Slavic and the Strigoi traditions. And I kind of tie a lot of the New Orleans hoodoo and also French mysticism into my craft as well. I'm obsessed with magic. I have a very unhealthy obsession with experimental magic. Like I completely made it a career out of it. Like I think I'm the only one in my family who like didn't have anything else on the side, because all my hobbies include anything that has to do with the craft, with magic. I guess I could say like I'm into like concept art or studio art, but that's what I use for my craft. Like I use it to make my books and tools, effigies, all sorts of stuff. What else about me?
So what do you think, if anything, what do you think that joining the podcast, joining our group, has that had any impact on your practice, on you?
Oh yeah, major, major. Like I feel like
in a good way.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like joining the podcast, it was nice to kind of see like-minded people, because even people in my family or friends, I feel like that they were just kind of part-time practitioners in a way, or they didn't really know as much as I did, except for like the older generation. So I really didn't have anyone who was like my age group. I felt like I was always like having to teach or like explain myself. So it's nice that it's like I can bring up a certain concept and everybody knows what I'm talking about. And it's like, wow, that's awesome. And also like a mind has opened up a lot too, because like I used to think like, when I say like a witch is a witch regardless of culture, like I still kind of say that but as how I define a witch, which I love how like Bella opened up my eyes about that with the different terms for different practitioners, how like there's many different terms for the same thing, and that you don't have to be so segregated with like those different terms, even though like I still kind of see witch as like a bit of an umbrella term for those who have their own magic. But and then also just like being able to really connect with people too, to where I feel like I'm not teaching a masterclass or like members of my family who I would assist in certain workings. I felt like it was just their working. I was just like the assistant. And then like others who were practitioners, like I felt like I was just the one doing everything. So I remember when we were doing the first working together, I was like so excited and like so nervous. I was like, I've never done like a group working where like we're all contributing equally and we all know what we're doing.
that was a wonderful experience, actually.
For sure. And another thing too is because like growing up Hereditary, like people would always say like, well, you know, you have to be like from, you know, an unbroken line of witches to be Hereditary. And it's like meeting up with you guys, it's like, I really don't think that anymore. Cause like, yeah. Like I said, you guys natural witches.
I think there's merit to that statement, you know, and I understand where that statement comes from, but I think it's also probably a misconstrued statement and belief, you know, clearly for obvious reasons, you know, there's nothing more powerful than having a family line that's active, that, you know, your information and your knowledge is passed down from generation to generation. You know, there's nothing that can replace that. But to your point, you know, having said that, that doesn't mean that somebody who doesn't have that consistent, unbroken chain is any less than or cannot be, you know. And
exactly.
I think that for some of us, well, when I say some of us, it's not like there's 50 million of us. Like for Miss Mountain Gypsy and Hestia, you're like, when you hear them talk, you know, they bring up often about things that, even though they didn't grow up with it, they realize that they did. It's mm-hmm. their families were just not calling it, you know, the buzzwords that you think right. about.
And then see, you have that, somebody that like, ended up transferring to me too, because I also avoid the buzzwords. Like, I'm not anti the word witch, but I still feel awkward. Like when I tell people what I do, I don't ever just look at them and be like, hey, I'm a witch. It's, hey, I'm getting into my culture's spirituality, and that right. is different than what you're familiar with. And mm-hmm. I leave it at that.
See, that's then you get somebody like me who was adopted. So there was not going to be any passing on of information hidden or transparent. You know, I had to find my own way, but it was something that was always inherently with me.
Bella is a prime example of why I agree with Jason when he says that, like, yes, anybody can study witchcraft and practice it, but that doesn't mean that you're a born witch. And that's why I'm like, okay, Bella is a born witch, because though she was adopted, though she had no idea of her true genetic makeup, she was still drawn to it strongly. She connected exactly. with it before she knew. And same with me. I was this little kid whose parent was telling them they were one thing, and I didn't find out I was something else until a couple years ago. But the entire time I lived my life like I knew, because I did.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's how we kind of view it too. My family is like a cultural thing, like a cultural heritage or legacy, as well as like a spirituality, but not a religion. Like that's something that my mom was really like heavy on, because she was Christian. And so was my grandma. A lot of the witches on that side of the family are Christian, Catholic, whatever. And they always really like to press that witchcraft is not a religion. It's, you could tie any religion you'd like into it. The way I always used to, yeah, for sure.
People do. Like, the way there's Jewish, magic and Arabic magic, right, and African branches of, yeah, magic. Like, yeah, it's in
exactly
every religion is tied in,
right,
every culture,
and color.
But you know, that's why another thing you said too was actually, you know, it really hits home for me for completely different reasons, yet it was the same kind of journey and conclusion, because I had been, you know, nobody, no family or anything like that, you know, my whole journey has been very, very isolated. And when we had first started all of this, you know, I probably had only really been on social media for just even, you know, personally, social media for witchy things, for less than a year or so, maybe a year tops. So, and it was for that kind of the similar reason. I mean, the COVID hadn't hit yet, but it was like, you know, I'm wondering, like, who's out there now that social media was there, now that that presence was there, because I had been so isolated that, you know, it was like, part of me was like, you know, do I even really know what I'm doing? Like, you know, I wanted to compare and contrast, you know, and see what was out there. So even though you joined for totally different reasons and got yourself into social media for that, you know, I had done that too for, again, totally opposite reasons. But like you, realizing, okay, you know, I'm not crazy. I'm not like off in my own little world. I mean, I am, but you know, I'm not like totally out there doing something completely different. I am doing my own thing, but I mean, I'm not it's actually helped me to build my confidence in what I do. Interestingly enough. Not that other people's reinforcement for that. I guess I just needed to prove to myself, you know, no, you're not crazy. No, you do have an idea of what you're doing. You know, it's like it's been constantly reinforced. And to Hestia's point, you know, I feel like I will always say, long before we even had Ancestry.com and 23andMe and all of that, you know, I've always felt that I've been guided by my ancestors.
Oh, yeah.
The DNA, genetic testing has only reinforced it. And being out in public and being out on on social media has only reinforced.
When I got my DNA results back, I fucking cried.
Yeah,
like, me too. ugly, hyperventilating snot cry. Like, I cried hard for days because I was lied to about who I was for the better part of my life. And I always knew.
So was I.
Like, I was like, dude, it's like, I knew it. Like, I felt it. Like, the food I always craved, the music I always listened to from a little kid, like there'd be times where mom was like, why are you even listening to that? Who put you on that? Nobody. I found this. Because I didn't have friends, you know, so nobody was putting me on anything. Like, I didn't have friends.
From a personal, non-magical note, you know, that can really destroy a person.
Yeah.
Potentially destroy a person.
Roots,
because
your culture, you know, roots are important no matter what, even in a mundane sense.
Well, I mean, so ever since I was a little girl, you know, the Norse and Celtic cultures I had always been drawn to, and for obvious reason, well, not obvious to you guys, but so I grew up in a Filipino household. So the Filipino culture I was very well ingrained in, but I felt that connection with it. But then when I found out that I was adopted, then I was told that I was only half Filipino, and I was like, okay, that's cool. So when I met my bio mom, when I was 35 years old, she told me that I was not half Filipino, that my biological father was Japanese Hawaiian. And I lost it. I was so lost. For years, I was lost because I was like, how can this be? I've always felt so sure about who I am, you know? And then I started feeling guilty then about being drawn to Celtic and Nordic culture because I'm like, you know, who am I to be drawn to that? Because that's not me. Or is it? I don't know. I don't know anything about me. And so when I got my DNA results, it's like everything came full circle and it reinforced what I naturally had been feeling my whole life growing up. But yeah, that almost destroyed me, to be honest with you, because it's, you know, when you feel something so strongly inside and something external is telling you you're wrong. It's like,
yeah.
You're totally lost.
And for anybody and who's ever went through an identity crisis, that shit is traumatic.
Facts.
I'm in fucking therapy dealing with this shit right now. Okay, like it's traumatic.
I mean, you know what? As a medical practitioner, it adds another layer of trauma.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
I'm sitting here, you know, questioning myself as a person, questioning myself. As a practitioner, everything that I've, you know, that's felt so natural to be doing. I mean, I was lost for a good 10 years.
And see, honestly. I can only really speak on me. Yeah. And I know for Bella, this is true too. It's especially difficult when the people who are telling you the incorrect information are the people that you trust. Because this was my family, my blood family, who knew that they were not what they were portraying themselves to be, telling me that this is what you are. And yeah, it's traumatic.
Right.
I basically was lied to about who I was at a core level for like 30 years.
Right.
So actually, the bitchy witchies was present and full in force when I got my ancestry.com
same
information back.
All of us actually, huh?
Yeah, all of us.
But like what's interesting though is like with my family's tradition, even though like we had to focus on the different magical practices that kind of tied into like the melting pot that we would call the family tradition practice, how do I put this? So like we didn't really focus on like the fact that we were like, you know, Irish, Scottish, Celtic, things like that. It was more on the fact that we were witches. So like the way that we were kind of presented was almost like similar to like Judaism in a way, how like it's both a religion and a race of people. Like that's kind of how witchcraft was presented to us. That was like both a cultural practice and a genetic heredity.
Yeah.
Send silence.
But you know, I did not always call myself a folk magic practitioner. And that is because like I didn't know who I was. You know, I mean I knew, but like Hessie was saying, external people telling me, no, you're wrong. And so like I really didn't know who I was. And so I felt like I had no right calling myself a folk magic practitioner because I had no folk validating, you know, who I was. And so it was actually these two ladies, especially Miss Mountain Gypsy, who happens to love ancestry and studying ancestry period, that really helped me, you know, to explore the stuff that I had discovered about myself, coming back full circle and realizing and justifying, I guess, if you will, you know, everything that I've always felt and done and believed.
Well, because like when I first met you all,
I'm actually very proud when I say I'm a folk magic practitioner, because I don't say like I'm a folk magic practitioner of just like folk magic. I'm folk magic practitioner of my cultures.
Yes.
And very specific to my cultures. That's what I know. That's what I've always known. That's what I love. And that's who I am.
And see, when I first met you guys, I think a couple weeks after I met you guys, I got my thing, my result. And the whole reason I did mine was my biological dad was adopted. We know nothing about him. And when I did start talking to him when I was like 19, 20, he kept telling us he was Italian because that's what his adopted parents told him and stuff like that. So like, I wanted the pieces because I knew enough about my mom's side because everybody talked about that and stuff. And like, I kind of had I think it was Bella, both Hestia and Bella. I had a moment where I was like, okay, what do I do with this information now? Because now I know the rest of myself. See, we all had those moments.
By the way, if you're wondering why my biological mom told me wrong, she wasn't lying. You have to remember, I'm the oldest in this group here. So my biological mother came straight out of the 60s. She was a love child, okay? And when I told her that when I got the results back and told her, like, no, he was Filipino, she's like, oh, I don't know. I mean, it was a one-night stand. It was like, you know, it was free love. She was just like, eh, who knew? I was like, well, thanks, but...
That's great.
You know, for like 10, 15 years, you had me believing one thing but that's how I was, you know, TMI, I guess, but I was a product of a one night stand. Okay. So
I think we've all gotten too much TMI on how we've come to exist. Okay.
Yeah.
I had a moment to speak with you all because I found out where my name actually came from.
My sister and I for the longest time thought that our parents was either like a prearranged marriage or a Vegas shotgun wedding or something, because when we grew up, our parents seemed like they did not like each other. They were always just clashing heads all the time. I think with them, it's like they met when they were really young, both being hereditaries too. Like, they just jumped the gun, got married really fast, and then after a year they decided that they ran out of shit to talk about and or that like they were who they thought they were, so then they thought that having kids would like fix the marriage, and it didn't. So yeah, that was that's our story. Like, they don't really, because because they were married for a while before my sister and I were born.
Wow. So what about you, Miss Mountain Gypsy? What's happened between beginning and now?
And what's a little background on you?
Well, ever since I met you guys have really, really helped me to expand myself. You know that. Because I live in the Bible Belt, so I really felt uncomfortable doing anything. But I met these lovely ladies and they're like, who cares? Especially Hestia. She's like, and who cares? So, I mean, you know, I've been practicing since I was 12-ish, 13-ish. So way over 20 years. And, you know, then, of course, I started with the Wiccan thing. But... you know, as a rebellious teenager, you know, I always was like, this doesn't sound right. Let me check this out. And then the more, you know, the more I studied, the more I learned. And like Bella said, with me and Hestia, there was just a lot of things in my family that great grandmothers did, aunts and uncles did, and I didn't realize what it was. It was just, oh, grandma's throwing salt and pepper on the driveway again. I don't know why. We just do it to keep people away. You know, and going into the ancestry thing is I've learned a lot more, especially through you guys, you know, learning about different cultures that are in my bloodline and stuff. And, you know, and of course, y'all know I'm a mommy and I've, you know, I pass things to my kids, but I don't make them do anything. Ooh. We cool? So
you're good.
Okay. Yeah, but you know, like I'm a mommy. I teach my kids things, but I'm not gonna force it on them. If they want to learn, they can learn. And I think in the
last again.
Ooh, can you hear me?
She's not skipping or anything on my end.
Okay. So
okay. So maybe it's me.
But yeah, so and then I've been married for almost 17 years and I have my husband who likes to help me sometimes and all that stuff. Actually a lot more lately. And I think it's thanks to you guys. He wants to learn more.
Yeah, that's funny. Oh, sorry. I was just going to talk about my partner, Anthony. Like, he didn't know until like recently that like how many witches were in his family too, and found out that like his grandma used to practice, and he was asking his mom one time, like, did you know that May was a witch? And she's like, yeah, but she doesn't practice anymore. Why do you think we go to Jason for everything?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I like how, you know, people in my household incorporate it or stuff, but and the whole reason I met these ladies was like everybody else, right? I was like in 2019 before my birthday, I was like, I need more witchy friends or to at least find people who think like myself.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was bored. Like I was really bored and I guess you could say kind of lonely because I have one friend I have met here in North Carolina. Oh. And she lives like 2 hours away from me. So you know, all my other friends I grew up with are back home in Texas and all over the place. And I was like, I need more friends. So yeah, I just like Googled it, you know, communities, and there came Amino.
That's what I did too. But like I find it interesting how with those of us who I would say like have witchcraft in our blood or have the gift of magic, have the witching power, how like we can find each other like that, because it's like even through electronically, because even it's like with Bella, it's like I was like, I need to talk to her.
Yeah. Same thing, because it's not like, I mean, I am not a very sociable person. When probably 90 to 95% of the time when somebody private messages me, I'm like, who the fuck is this?
And I'm ready to just tell the person off. I'm really, like, I'm a really quiet person. And when, you know, outside of the administrating chat, and when you guys brought me into the private chat between, you know, everybody else, I was like, just sitting there like, oh my God, these people want to talk to me.
Right. But it makes me feel really... Right. What made me feel really good and really welcome as well is because like I get really weary of like telling people I'm hereditary because they automatically think I'm like trying to brag or like that I'm trying to make myself off as like being like something special.
But here's the thing. So what if he is trying to brag? So the fuck what?
Oh, well, thank you.
Here's the thing, I get where he's coming from though, because at the same time, we know, because we've experienced it ourselves, that people pretend that they are just so that they can look cool, you know, and look like they have something of authority.
Well, one, right. All liars look stupid. Sad.
That's, yeah.
All liars look stupid. So if you're lying about that, that's just weirdo shit.
But we've already come across one that I'm pretty sure we made fun of all first season.
It's very obvious, just to let you know.
But here's how I see that situation though. It's like, okay, if he is proud of his heritage, then he can fucking be proud of his heritage. And if somebody being proud of having those roots makes you uncomfortable, you should think about why. Why does somebody proud of their roots make you so fucking uncomfortable? Is it because you're not in touch with yours? Probably. Do your shadow work.
Right. Yeah, and it's like, why are you trying to make yourself
out
to be
something? Sure, there have been some hereditaries that I've come across that then act high and mighty, you know. I get that. And like I said, there's those who pretend that they are not. I get that. Exactly. Too. Yeah. But like with everything else, you know, hear a person out and don't judge them by, you know, one word or one label and actually get to know them.
Here's to further that example, because if you like the four of us enough to be here regularly, then I know you're familiar with Pan Pan. Yes. Is she high and mighty? Does she brag about it and everything? I don't even know if she like just says it openly. Like she doesn't hide it.
But she's
hereditary too, but she's not braggy about it. But I know she's not ashamed of it. No. So it's like let people be proud of their heritage. Like that's their right.
But I don't want to sound like I'm being braggy, because like I know that too, of like those who act high and mighty. Because they are. Then you have the people who like say like, oh, I come from a 1,000-year-long line of witches. I don't know who they are, or I've never met them, but I come from them. And it's like, I don't completely disregard that, but like they still say it as if like it kind of gives them some authority, or like they're trying to make themselves out to be something special. And it's like, I'm like, that's not my intention at all.
But here's the thing. It's like, if that's something you're proud of, be proud of that, but don't expect everybody to care.
Yeah, I don't like, I just don't like being
accused of about you. I'm talking about like people brag. Like if you're really braggy about it, then like don't, just that's fine. If that's who you are and you brag about something that you're proud of, fine, do that, because there's always going to be people that can tolerate that. You'll still make friends and live your life and whatever, but just don't expect everybody to give a shit, because some people truly don't, like me.
Right exactly. Well said.
My favorite, not to go on a tangent, even though that's what we do. My favorite is when somebody links themselves to somebody historically, but it really doesn't mean anything, but they're like trying to show that I'm authentic because, and here's my favorite, because I'm a descendant of so-and-so who was at the Salem witch trials. I'm like, okay, great. So you're a descendant of somebody that was wrongly accused, who actually wasn't really practicing, but you know, exactly. I'm sad for you, but what does that have to
like
do
your
with
ancestor wasn't
witchcraft?
A witch, she was a persecuted Christian.
Right? exactly. Or like you get people like I see a lot of people who like to claim the last name of Laveau. Like, I'm a descendant of Laveau, and it's like, no, you're not.
Or oddly enough, Cunningham. Like, that's a weird flex.
Right.
Because Cunningham is not a common name at all.
Right? I think it's the most common name in the United States, actually.
No, I don't know about that, but it is, it's not uncommon, that's for sure.
Right?
So, Brandy, so how has your practice changed since?
Dude, drastically, like, you know, because I would I would set myself aside and just like not practice sometimes because life got so busy. But with you guys like pushing and like doing workings with other people, like I've never done anything with anyone else until I met you guys. And I make it a point to practice. Like, you guys have pushed me to be all, don't ignore it. Like, busy or not, do something, you know.
I gotta say, at first I thought you said you were naked, and I was like,
I thought she said that too.
Me too.
No. She's like, I met these bitches, and now everything I do is naked.
Yes. All the time, every day, all day.
I'm a free ass bitch now.
That's why my husband and I are so much closer.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
They made our marriage great.
But yeah, dude, like,
well, what about you, Miss Hestia?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to ask the same.
So a lot has changed. I've calmed down a lot. I'm a lot more open. Well, I guess let me give some background. So again, I was a child of a parent who was a self-hater, pretty much. Like, they hated who they actually were. They wanted to be who they were adopted by. It was actually really sad. Like, as much as I was angry at them for this for a long time, now I'm just kind of like, that must have really sucked for you. So I try not to hold it against them. But basically, this is the person who raised me, and they kept telling me, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're white, you're only white, you're nothing else, you're just this white girl. And I'm light skinned, light hair, light eyes. So I'm like, oh, okay. But I never felt that. I always felt a really strong Mexican and other indigenous tribes, like connections. Like, these are just things that I felt from a little kid. I would listen to music in Spanish as a little kid, and I didn't speak Spanish. And my mom, I wasn't going to drop her name, or I wasn't going to say who, but my mom would ask me, like, why are you listening to that? You're like, you're a white girl, don't do that. And I, like, if you look at her, she is not a white woman. But she very much so wants to be. She was adopted. She has no ties to her roots, or had no ties to her roots, because she was adopted by a white family. She was raised as a upper class white woman, and so she hated who she was. And she very much so put that onto her children. So we grew up feeling one way and being told that we're not that. So a lot of the stuff that she did came from those same things. Like, she did shit that is very much so now spirituality from where we really are. Like, she knew how to properly smudge, like the formal ceremony, not what everybody's calling smudging now, which is just smoke cleansing. Like, no, she would do formal smudging naturally all the time. I remember growing up around sage and abalone and palo and other incenses and stuff like that. And like, she would use them in ways. And I don't mean like, oh, I'm going to smoke a blunt and light this. Like, no. And that was something that as a kid, I actually hated, because she was telling me that I was something that would have been anti that. So as a kid, I remember being like, sage stinks. Don't burn that shit around me. And it just always felt just, I don't know. I just always felt weird. I always felt like I didn't belong with the people I was told I was supposed to belong with. And finally she admitted to us one day that, you know, yeah, no, you're Mexican. you're mixed with a bunch of stuff. My list is long, but yeah, I'm essentially, I got stuff from all around the world, but a strong majority of it is Mexican. And I always felt that, and I was always told to deny it. And so when I found out, it was very emotional for me, because those roots were always there. And so when I first started, I was much more hesitant to discuss how I practice. And I think I was overly cautious in the wording I used. I only called myself a practitioner. I would not mention anything about Mexican folk magic. I was not comfortable basically telling anybody that I was doing anything from a culture that I'm fucking a part of. And that was basically where I was at when we started. I was very new to like studying it in depth, instead of just doing what came naturally, because nobody was teaching me anything more in depth, because they were actively trying to suppress it. And as time went on, my mother ended up letting go of a lot of the restrictions that she put on that. She started, it's kind of hard, this is going to get a little personal, but she kind of went hard in two opposing directions. Like, she fully embraced the spirituality of the Mexican and indigenous side, but also at the same time going way harder on the self-hate with it. So I just cut those ties, and I'm like, I'm going to go study this on my own, because no information I'm getting from where I'm from is helping. And, you know, Bella and Brandy really helped me to understand that the limitations that are put on culture by people don't fucking matter. Because one, you are not a part of my life. Your opinion and how you feel about what I do doesn't matter. As long as what I'm doing feels right with my spirit and me and the people around me, I don't really care. And now I can proudly say, like, yes, I practice Mexican folk magic. And like Bella said, it's really nice to finally feel comfortable being like, I practice folk magic, and not just using folk magic as a loose term. It's like, no, it's my folks' magic. I practice my folks' magic. So yeah, it, like, I feel a lot less guarded about it.
But what's interesting too with me, with you guys, like I feel like I can just like talk to you freely, just like how I would talk to any member of my family. So it's like if I didn't know any better, than like I would have sworn that like the three of you grew up in witching families too, to be honest.
And it's so funny because technically I did, and it was multi-generational as well, because like I said, there were things that my mother did naturally that I'm just like, now that I know, I'm like, bitch, you knew what you were doing. And she did. She finally came around and made it obvious that she knew what she was doing. And she knows that we know that she knows. And then come to find out, I also, it wasn't blood family, but kind of. It was like my step-grandmother, come to find out she practiced heavy, like heavy. And at the time, when I was a kid, like I don't know how I suppressed this, because like she babysat us every day for like years. I was in this woman's house all the time for years. And so she always had the horseshoes above the door. She always kept a broom by the door. She always had salt by the door. She had fucking voodoo dolls and told us they were voodoo dolls. And we were just like, okay, cool. And like, did not give a fuck. And it's like, now I look back and I'm like, girl, you didn't like, really? You just went back outside and started playing with ants again or something? Like, I'm mad now, because I wish at the time I had known more, and so I could have got like knowledge from her. But yeah, like she's the one that would be blowing tobacco smoke in your ear if your ear hurt and stuff. And it's just like, looking back on it now, I grew up around it and I just didn't know, because these are people from the South, from an era where that was unacceptable. They come from the Bible Belt and they come from very religious families. Some of these people's families worked in the church. So there was no titles for it. It's just what grandma did. It's just what grandma taught you to do. So there were no titles. I did not know, but I've been growing up with it my whole life too.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it.
So there is an up have that's different with me for started. Actually, there's two major things. One is I came to terms with my moving into cronehood. And so if you look at early videos, I had stark black hair, but now I am allowing my gray to come in.
And I couldn't be fucking happier about it.
So there's that. And also, I'm now engaged. So.
Yay. Yay. Love it.
I hella didn't even pay attention to the fact that you never announced that.
Oh, yeah, we didn't, did we?
You never fucking announced that. It's just a whole big, huge life event going on behind the scenes.
Right?
And you guys have met him before. It's Clyde.
Yes.
The little brother.
Yeah, so.
Yes.
She's had major changes over the last year.
Bella's making huge boss moves right now in life.
Yeah, I'm going to be moving. This city girl is moving to the country.
She's joining us all in the country. Now we just got to get Hestia out.
It's not me you got to worry about. It's my husband. He is not with it.
When I get there, I'm going to make a video and take you guys around and show you.
Bella, it's funny you say that. Because Fearless, who's been in the chat this entire time, I will start talking about what you're saying in there too. Just give us a second. Fearless was saying that some of her favorite videos that we've done were like showing our spaces, like when we were doing the altar room tours and stuff like that.
Oh, I still have to do one. I have yet to do one.
You should definitely do one. People like those.
Yeah, for sure.
I have so many updated space areas. I'll definitely be
doing a couple, because both Clyde and I, we plan to establish an outdoor altar and outdoor space. And so I'll give you guys a little gander of that, but then I'll take you through some of the property to show you, you know, how I plan to be using my new surroundings.
Fearless said, join us. Country living is amazing. Girl, you're not telling me. My grandpa had a farm. I wish I could live like that. But my husband is a city boy, born and raised, and he's a mama's boy. So I have to wait till his mom dies and then he'll consider it. That's where we're at.
Hardcore city girls. So this is going to be a change, but it's going to be a really positive change.
Yeah. I'm a city girl too, born and raised. So, it'll be a change, but it's one I've wanted for a long time. Like, I've wanted to move to the country for a very long time. So it's not going to be pulling teeth with me at all. So if one day you go to see Bella on a video and you hear me in the background, you know, I clubbed my husband and we left.
She just whacked him like a cave woman and just pulled him along.
Let's go.
Oh my goodness. I think we've all have a lot of things coming up and we're doing outside of the podcast. I mean, a lot of us do.
And also within the group. I mean, we've got some things that we actually announced quite a while back. We just life has gotten in the way, but we haven't forgotten about those journals, those spell journals and such, you know, that we're going to be putting out. We haven't forgotten about said, just life's sort of gotten in the way. So we do have some ideas for more books eventually that will come out, more things that will come out.
I like the other one we threw out there. That's a good book idea.
Yeah. I think we're going to keep that under wraps for now.
Yes.
That one's got to be a surprise.
Yes. So that was going to be awesome. But yeah, I think just in the last year, all of us have had so many different projects within and outside the podcast happening in our lives. So, you know.
And we've got a whole new list of topics for videos. So hopefully this next season, you know, you'll be seeing a lot more different types of videos and different types of subject matters.
And like always, we are open to suggestions. I don't think there's ever been a suggestion that we didn't end up doing. There is one that's been in the works for a long time. It's just really hard. We'll get it done as soon as we can. It was requested actually by Fearless to see how we work together versus how we work separately, and we plan on doing that. It's just life has been bizarrely busy this year for all four of us. It's been one thing after another. We didn't forget. We've had it in the works. We've even tried to get it started before. It's just this year has been bonkers. So just we're working on it.
And I do want to make mention in a recent video, somebody commented that they were asking about what you can do for addiction. Who planted that with that?
Yeah. We got that comment and we'll work on that one for you all. I think
bearing Bella would in probably mind, and I'll talk about it during the video, bearing in mind that, you know, there's magic does not fix everything. And so this is to be the panacea solution, but this will be something that will help in a person's journey through addiction.
Right, for sure.
And it'll be a helpful thing for something I'm working on as well outside the podcast. If someone in that area is on this spiritual path, I can help there. So I appreciate Bella doing that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
I'm getting quiet for a second because I'm trying to scroll these through.
What else? Fearless anything else saying. We got for up?
I'm
sorry. Wait, what? I didn't catch that. But
I guess another update for me is I have moved. If you have noticed a notable improvement in my personality, that would be why. I have my own space. I'm alone a lot. So I am very, very happy. That was a big one. something that's drastically changed from the time that when we first started the podcast to now is when we first started, me and my husband were staying with my mother-in-law, and she is very religious and very anti everything I do. not on a personal level, just like she's not with the occult shit at all. In fact, she saw my tarot cards and like put her hands behind her back and like backed out of the room like she was terrified or something. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Oh wow.
So fucking dramatic. But anyway.
Hestia summoned demons up in her house.
Yeah, and she saw my runes that were made out of bone, and she was like, "It's bone." Like, anyways, don't get it wrong though. I love this woman; she's the nicest person you'll ever meet. It's just like everybody has their thing. So, I was in a place where basically I had to hide everything I was doing. There was like no privacy, and I was recording there. So I had to record quietly. Like there'd be times, I know if you go back and listen to some of them, it sounds like I'm whispering. It's because I was. And now, you know, I'm in my own place. I don't care if my neighbors hear me, because they can't be like, oh, you're evil, get out, you know? So, which is what I was afraid of at the time. I thought she was going to find out. She was going to be like, she's evil, get out. And yeah, it would have been bad. But now that is not an issue. So I can be loud and honest and say key words that would have piqued people's hearing before. So I'm just genuinely happy.
Loud and proud.
Yeah, I can be loud and proud with it now. So let me see what Fearless was saying. She said, my adoptive great-grandmother was half Native American. She did things that would be considered woo-woo. Yeah, it's really interesting. The more I learn, the more I'm like, oh, I grew up around somebody who did that. You'd be surprised how many people who like would never say, yeah, I practice. They're just regular mundane people. They do shit this hella woo-woo too, because it's just something they saw their grandma do, or it's just something they saw their mom do, and they don't give it a second thought. So much of that goes unrecognized and unseen and just unacknowledged. It's really funny, because I feel like if most people who condemned any kind of magic really like looked at the superstitions that are in their family, or just like the little habits or traditions or things that they do, they'd be surprised. Like, your grandma was a witch and you hate witches. How you feel about that now? You miss Meemaw, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, my great-grandmother was from up here in the Appalachian Mountains, and my grandmother was raised in the Appalachian Mountains. And now, as an adult, realizing things that they did around the house and all the time, they were practicing their cultural things that they were raised with, just not called what it's called.
Well, and going back to what Jason was talking about, I mean, that's just it. There's so many different words for it, and sometimes there's not words for it at all that doesn't make it any less than or any different, you know? Cultural magic is just that. You know, I think globally people refer to it as witchcraft, but it's... We are practicing nature magic, so call it whatever you want. That's what we're doing.
But like the one common, right? But when you also look at different cultures and you look at the archetype of the witch, regardless of how it may be rendered or defined, whether they're seen as like evil or just healers, like the common thread between them is the belief that they have their own magic, they have their own power.
Yes. And because the word quote unquote witch tends to be looked at very negatively, you know, you'll find many cultures using different terminology, but when you look and see what they're doing, we're doing the same thing. You know, like in the Philippines, for example, you know, there's a lot of different areas that when translated to English mean witch, but at the same time there's also a lot of terminology that a very popular name that they like to call themselves are healers. They're healers. Mm-hmm. But when you look at what they're doing, they are practicing full-on nature magic.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I was going to say something else to that. But I lost my
I was just going to say, you know, it's sad, you know, that you have to come up with different terminology. But, you know, again, to Hestia's point, you know, it's, you know, you don't have to call yourself a witch specifically because it's not about the label. We know what we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And once I got comfortable with that, and once I stopped giving a shit if other people were comfortable with that, I was just so much more at ease and happy.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to give you a title. Like, why do you need to label me? I have a name. Right. That's my fucking label. Call me that.
I like using the term witch and applying it to, because like that's just the tradition that I grew up in. And just like,
and see, I love that. Like, I love that you identify as that and call yourself that unapologetically.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
And I don't mind, you know, for me, it's all about, how do I do this? It's all about the base of, it's a mode of communication, you know. Use the word because that's the most recognizable word, so everybody pretty much understands what you mean by it. It doesn't have to necessarily, though, come with negative or positive connotations. It just is.
Right, exactly. And I know, like, hereditaries, too, who won't really utilize the term either because they don't like being grouped in with Wiccans, which I could understand that too. Right.
That is just weird, but, to me, that a whole ass religion has become the poster child for a type of practice, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's exactly. Like somebody who practices ceremonial magic, that's like somebody calling themselves, oh, so you're a Christian? It's like, what does that what does that religion have to do with the magical practice? It's like,
no. Exactly. Right. But another thing I was going to bring up too was going back to what you guys were saying about I'm getting all twisted. Brandy and I were talking one time. I was telling her about this face mask I was using that I made from this old book from the 1700s called translates into natural magic, and using pig's fat as like a base. And Brandy was like, my grandma used to do that. And it's like, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, she used to.
Because, I actually got it from.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh my God, someone else who did weird things like my great grandma.
So it's like, that's just like cool how, like what you're saying, it's how, like, the practice of, like witchcraft, the folk magic, and like when you study all the different ones from the different cultures, like the similarities outshine the differences, definitely. So it's like, it always used to kind of get to me when people would, using that whole, like, oh, that's cultural appropriation, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no. It's not. Because, but you guys know what I mean.
So do we have anything else that anybody wants to say?
Mm.
No, so we have 50% of our group has some prior engagements already scheduled or that they need to attend to. So if nobody else has anything, then I think we will wrap up for our first episode of season 7.
Yes. No Q&A questions?
I don't think so. I think Fearless was pretty much the one talking.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, if you are watching this after when we were no longer live and you have a question, feel free to put the question in the comment. We will still be happy to answer it. Obviously, we won't be answering it live, but we will still answer in the comments below.
I still answer pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
One of us always sees your comments and questions at any time.
Miss Mountain Gypsy, you want to close us out?
Well, I'm so glad that we're back and everybody who was here, thanks for joining and learning more about us if you were new to the podcast. And don't forget to do the like and subscribe and follow us everywhere buttons. And yeah. Hope you guys have a good week.
Thanks, everybody. See you guys in the video.
Bye.
Bye.